We all like a good book over summer, and this summer on Radio National Breakfast, we'll be inviting some prominent Australians to share what books are on their reading list. Today's guest on summer reading is one many of you will be familiar with as you whip out your Christmas cookbooks ahead of the festive season. Matt Preston is a food critic, a writer, a food journalist, a television and radio presenter, and former judge of MasterChef Australia. Matt Preston, welcome to summer reading.
Yeah, look, I like to discover myself, Mel, as a man who eats cake for a living. It's the dream job.
That's much shorter. I'll go with that next time.
and eating cake is so good to do with reading a book. A cup of tea, a small bit of cake, nothing too greedy, and nothing too sticky so you don't mark the pages, and then a good book. What a... For me, that's the perfect relaxation. Ideally, a bit of a deck somewhere in the shade, nice breeze running through, some warmth, happy place.
You can't beat that. So, Matt Preston, what are you currently reading?
Well, look, I've had that one of those wonderful little runs where I read a couple of books I really, really loved. I read Butter by Asaki Yazuki, which is fantastic. It's a wonderful Japanese young author, and it's a cracking read. And Butter features, so obviously that appeals. And then I'd never read Anna Funder's Stasi Land, so I just ripped through that.
That's a critical one to tick off the must-read list.
I was speaking at the Jaipur Literary Festival, and it was on the bill with me, and it was like I came back and I went, I've never read this. I need to read this, and it's such a brilliant piece of work. And it was just one of those things you read, and you know that those things you read, and I put pen to paper a bit, and you go, oh wow, okay, that is she's seven or eight levels higher than me in the writing state. They're just those marvelous moments. You get turns of phrase, and you stop, and always put the book down and go, oh, that's a beautiful way of describing that. Yeah, very good. The Golden Road, William Dalrymple, who's a historian based out of Delhi and Scotland. He's written a number of books on...
And would be familiar to anyone who listens to the Empire podcast, William Dalrymple.
I saw him the other day when he was over in Melbourne, and I think that's 74 million people now. So he's he's doing phenomenally well. So written a lot about the East India Company. He's an old mate of mine from like 40 years ago, but he's now one of the three cred directors of the Jaipur Literary Festival. So if you ever need an excuse to go to India in early February, it's this amazing. It's like the Glastonbury of books. This event. When I was speaking there, there were six Nobel Prize winners, 10 Booker Prize winners, and basically I felt like the shallow puddle in a kind of ocean of literature. It was an amazing place. And you just do that thing where you walk around going, oh, I need to buy that, I need to be this, how interesting is this?
It would be amazing. And to be there as well with William Dalrymple, I spent a year living in New Delhi and reading some of his books, and City of Gins was a particular one that had a lot of resonance around New Delhi as well, to just have this much deeper understanding of this place that you're in. It is extraordinary. I think it's compulsory reading if you've got a holiday to India on your itinerary coming up.
But I think that's what's interesting about the Golden Road. He very much is focused on all the things that India have contributed to the way the world has shaped itself. You know, the concept of zero, the incredible I've just come back from Cambodia. Angkor Wat is, you know, there's another sense of the Indian Buddhism and also Hinduism both spreading throughout Asia, and the impact that had in terms of architecture. So it's a really interesting read. It kind of is a real champion for promoting a view that isn't quite so Eurocentric as some of our historian friends are.
So Matt, tell me, what kind of reader are you? You can clearly buy books and have a couple coming in at a time, but can you read multiple books on the go? Or are you the sort of person that's just
No, I have to be. It's an addiction. If it's a book I love, I will sit down and I will devour it in a day, 2 days. And this is it. Like, I'm reading two at the moment. I'm reading Demon Cophead by Barbara Kingsolver.
Oh, that's one of my favourites. It's wonderful.
That's a cracking read. But I'm also reading another book that's highly recommended by the person who recommended Butter to me, which I loved, Dictionary of Lost Words by Pitt Williams. And I just can't. I just can't get into it. I go back to it and I turn a page, and I've spent a lot of time on flights recently, and I just haven't, it just hasn't, just hasn't got me. I know I should read it, and I don't know whether I'm sitting there kind of, I really enjoyed The Surgeon of Crowthorne by Simon Winchester. Both books are about formation of dictionaries as a starting point. And I don't know, it's weird. So if I find a book that I love, and I'll probably push for the first 30, 40 pages if I'm done, and then I'll chow through it. I'm an addictive. I don't do a page a night, fall asleep. I want to inhabit this world for a couple of days
straight.
If you're
in, fully in. Look,
I think it's a good book.
I can see where you come from. I know with Dictionary of Lost Words, I could get through it all right, but it didn't really grab me. Whereas Demon Copperhead, that for me was the kind of book where I just wanted to drop everything and completely immerse myself in this world she has, following someone growing up in American Appalachia and sort of telling a life story, but also bringing in all of these social and cultural issues woven into this individual story in a way where you feel like you're living it with Demon Copperhead, the boy. It's quite extraordinary. So I'm excited that you're reading that one.
And I think that's the thing. I mean, I think that, you know, we tend to be in the media be obsessed with the latest and the new and the kind of the and sometimes there's a whole range of books that you might have missed. Anthony Satton's The Nomads, which is his wonderful history about the impact of nomad culture on the kind of growth of civilization. It is a great example. That was 2020, but most people haven't heard of it. It's really hard to find. I spent a year trying to find it. I think I might have tracked down a copy now. So I've been desperate to read that for 2 years ever since I saw him speak. And you just sit there going, those people that give you eye-opening insights you've not thought about before. Mm. I think also because I've spent my life writing for magazines and newspapers, that kind of dip in and read a couple of pages is something that I get out of magazines and newspapers. So I see books as being a joyous commitment to selfishness.
Oh, that's a great way to describe it.
If I want a quick read, I'll pick up an article by someone I love and read their stuff and read that insight. But when I really want to, and like you said, inhabit a world, it's a beautiful way.
Look, it would be remiss of me to let you go without asking if you've got any recommendations for a good cookbook for Christmas. If someone's wanting to give a present or spoil themselves, where what should they look for?
I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you Roisin Call's Secret Sauce. It's fundamentally a book about condiments, kind of divided into red, green, white and beige, black and brown, yellow and orange condiments, chili sauces, crispy chili oils. We're all a bit obsessed by condiments, let alone making your own barbecue sauce or fermenting your own chili sauce, maybe. So that's an absolute cracking read. She's a beautiful writer. She won a James Beard Award, which is a big international awards out of New York, for her last book, Chinese-ish, and she just has a wonderful way with words. And that's not always the case with chef cookbooks. And the other one, I love a cookbook that shows you something different. The world is full of retreads, you know, the same 20 recipes that we've all seen, you know, and I don't need that. But I love those books by people like Jotam Ottolenghi. And Jotam's sort of pastry off-cider, Helen Goh, who lived in Mutra, Australia, I think when she was 10, was a pastry chef in Melbourne, and then moved to London to go and be Jotam Ottolenghi's kind of pastry guru and off-cider. She's released her debut solo cookbook, which is called Baking and the Meaning of Life, How to Find Joy in 100 Recipes. I love the combination. Her recipes are different and they all work. And it's that combination. You want a little bit of twist, something fresh, something new, something exciting. You know, as a keen cook, you want that. But also as an amateur cook or as a more nervous cook, you want a recipe that you know when you make it, you invest the time, is going to put out something that's going to wow you and going to wow the people you serve for. So that is Helen Goh's Baking and the Meaning of Life and Roisin Call's Secret Sauce.
Perfect. I'm sure they will be rushing off the shelves this Christmas. Matt Preston, wishing you a very happy summer break. I hope you get plenty of time with your feet up, the breeze coming through, and a good book in your hand.
Well, you know what it is? The first thing to do is as soon as I get off, it's down the local bookshop and find out what I've missed in the last 12 months when I've been travelling and put a couple of those next to the bed just as something to lure me into the next bit of obsessive reading.
Perfect recipe. Matt Preston, thank you.
Thanks, Mel. Lovely talking to you.